Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Specialists indeed in Bible-based content right here on the Mid-Morning Empowerment. This is Adventist World Radio powered by SID Media, and it's time for us to get into our conversation with Elder Dennis Chisenga as we speak about how we should be applying biblical wisdom to our modern-day challenges. And today we're speaking about biblical wisdom for a digital age. Yo, these smartphones. Someone said something about how smartphones create, I don't want to use the word that was used in the statement, but basically that smartphones create not so smart people. But let's get into our conversation. My elder, good morning and welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning to you, and thank you for tuning me in.
Thank you so much for joining us, Elder. We appreciate your time. And we're having an interesting conversation here as we speak about application of biblical wisdom to modern day challenges. And we're speaking specifically today about the digital age. Now, in this world, which is dominated by screens, social media, it can be an uphill battle to find balance. But the Bible, even though it's an ancient book, offers timeless principles that can guide us in how we use technology without losing sight of what truly matters. So we're going to be exploring how we can apply biblical wisdom to thrive in the digital age while still maintaining our spiritual priorities. Now, my elder, what biblical principles can help us set boundaries? That's very important. How do we set boundaries for technology use?
Yes, yes. First and foremost, I would love to mention that technology on its own, it depends with how somebody uses it. It can either be for something good or for something bad.
Right.
And in so doing, we need to set boundaries for technology use, especially in this critical digital age.
Yeah.
So there are two principles which we can actually embrace, which will guide us as we use technology. The first one is stewardship. Stewardship. A steward is basically just a person who manages what does not belong to him. And when I think of stewardship, what comes to my mind is 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2, where the Bible says, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. So from here, it means that we are accountable of the time which God has given us, the energy and the resources. So we must prioritize what is truly important and allocate our time and energy accordingly. Then the second and thing or a principle which we can apply is self-control. I think it's one of the most hardest thing to do, self-control. When we come to Proverbs 25, verse 28, we are told that like a city whose walls are broken through is a man who lacks self-control. So if we don't have self-control, we are as good as a city which is in ruin, a city which is broken. So when we exercise self-control in all areas of our lives, including our technology use, then we will be people who will be useful in society. And just like you said, that statement that the technology misuse does not make really smart people. So if we embrace stewardship, self-control, and become intentional about how we use technology and avoid overindulgence, these will guide us well in our lives, sure.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, how can Christians guard their hearts and minds, particularly when using social media? We know that at this point, when you go onto social media, when we first started, it was just for, you know, connecting with friends and loved ones. People started using it for business, promoting their businesses, things like that. Beautiful. But now it can get very dark. There can be bullying, sometimes even images that no one should be looking at that you find posted on social media. And so how do we guard our hearts and our minds when using social media?
It's true what you said, Bongi. Social media can be a breeding ground for many vices, including comparison, where people compare themselves to others, even envy and pride. So some of the things which can help us to guard our minds on what we consume, because remember, we are what we eat.
Yep.
Same applies with our minds.
Yep.
We are what we feed on our minds.
Yep.
So the first principle we can apply is discernment.
Okay.
the ability to distinguish what is right and from what is wrong. But then you cannot distinguish what is right and what is wrong if you don't know what is right. So meaning you need, first of all, to be grounded in Christ and be connected to the Holy Spirit so that you are able to tell, to say, this is wrong, this is right.
Yeah.
We are told in 1 Thessalonians 5:21 that test everything, hold fast to what is good, and abstain from every form of evil. So we are being reminded that we should evaluate the content we consume on social media, and also to avoid anything that may be harmful or indulging to us. And the second principle, which we can apply in guarding our hearts, because by beholding, we become changed.
Yes.
Accountability is the second thing, where Galatians 6 verse 2 tells us that we must carry each other's burden, and in this way, you may fulfill the law of Christ. So from this verse, the encouragement is that we should surround ourselves with people who will encourage and support us in our work with God. We must be mindful of our impact on other people. In as much as God is telling us to carry each other's burden, we must also not put a burden on other people by how we use social media and what we tune ourselves in when we are on social media. So the impact on social media, we may make others also lose faith if we are not accountable of what we consume, because it will influence our connection with those people who we are found with. Sure.
Yeah. So that shows that our influence extends to beyond just, you know, those who are around us physically, who see us in our daily lives, but even those that we're connecting with on social media. And our social media activity can also be a witness for or against Christ. Sure. So now, what does the Bible teach us about using our time wisely, especially in a tech-driven world? One would assume that in a tech-driven world, everything is faster, everything is easier, everything's at your fingertips. That at the push of a button, you can command things to happen. So, but how does the Bible teach us about how we should use our time wisely?
Yes, what you've said is really true. In today's fast-paced world, it's very easy to be to get caught up in the hustle and bustle of technology.
Yeah.
But one of the things which we should embrace as stewards, like we mentioned, is prioritization. Is the key thing, prioritization. Ephesians 5, verse 15, we are taught that be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. So from this, we are getting that we need to be intentional about how we allocate our time and energy. We must prioritize what is truly important, and also we must avoid wasting time on non-essential things. So we can sit down and say, okay, I have 24 hours in a day, 8 hours of resting, 8 hours of working, and 8 hours of preparing and dilly-dallying here and there. So it's more like I have approximately 4 hours where I have just time to myself. So I should ask myself, in those 4 hours, how much time will I spend on social media? So if you say, okay, in a day I'll be spending 30 minutes, I'll be spending just an hour. And from there, you exercise self-control. When the 1 hour is reached, you get off and you attend to other things. Because sometimes we even affect other parts of our lives where we waste time and we just find ourselves we lag behind in certain activities which we should have done, and we procrastinate to say, no, I'll do it tomorrow, or because we did not prioritize what we should do first, what is important, what is urgent, and what is not important. The second principle we can embrace on how we can be using time wisely, even as we are in the tech-driven era, is diligence, being diligent. And from there, what clicks in my mind is what Proverbs 10 verse 4 says, that lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. So when we are, because being diligent means we are focused and we are avoiding distractions. So when we are focused, it means we are bringing wealth to ourselves, not just monetary wealth, but even wealth of the wisdom which we will have, the knowledge, the interaction, just the growth which we will have.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are diligent, we then become a people who are focused, people who will become focused even on work which we are doing. But sometimes you are at work, but you are on phone, and you are caught napping by your employers, and you are called for a meeting. They begin to scold you and all those things. You are not being faithful in your work because you are chewing the company's time. So you just need to be diligent. You need to be focused and be determined. And that's how we can be able to avoid being overtaken by technology in our use of time.
You know, one of the ways that I see time being wasted, even on things that should be, that are supposed to make things faster. I can think of something as simple as trying to order food online. That's supposed to make your life simpler. But once you go online, there's so many options, so many different, okay, so do I want this restaurant or do I want that one? Should I have this meal or should I have that one? And before you know it, you've been debating for I don't know how long trying to figure it out. Another way that we waste time is, for example, let's say someone is thinking, I want to eat healthier meals this year. So I'm not going out, but I'm going to look for healthy recipes online. You get online, you watch one YouTube video of how to cook a certain dish. And as you're watching, you're scrolling and you see there's another
dish.
That one looks like it might be nice. Then you try that one. Let's see how this one. Do I have the ingredients for this dish and that one? Next thing you know, an hour has passed by. The stove is still cold. The stove is cold. You don't have the ingredients you need for any of the recipes that you're watching. In fact, if you're unlucky, you've actually gone so far. You're now looking at other things that have nothing to do with cooking or anything like that. It's so easy to get distracted and swept away, where instead of acting, you've been looking at other people who are doing the thing that you want to do. So such a waste of time that we don't even see it happening until the time has already passed. You're like, I've been here for an hour.
Yes. In fact, from what you've said, we simply means we must not let technology control us.
Yes.
But we must be in control of the technology which is around.
That's it. That's exactly it. Now, how can technology be used to glorify God and serve others?
Yes, in fact, what you've reminded me, you know, when Facebook was first being introduced, people were pointing out, no, Mark of the Beast and the like and all those things and all those things. But now when COVID-19 came, everyone switches their own on social media and you're like, now the Mark of the Beast has turned into two for evangelism. So yes, technology can be a very powerful tool for spreading the gospel and saving others.
Yeah.
Two things which I'll just mention, which can help guide us to make technology that bring glory to God, is number one, using gifts and talents to serve others.
Mm-hmm.
Using gifts and talents to serve others. So we are told in 1 Peter 4, verse 10, that each of you should use whatsoever gift you have received to serve others, and as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. So in this verse, we are being reminded that we have been given gifts. We've been given talent to serve others, and that we should use these gifts. So some people are gifted with technology.
Yeah.
Some are gifted with talking, just like what we are doing right now.
Yeah.
You are gifted in interactions and bringing out all these issues. So we are using technology right now to reach out to a certain soul out there. There are people who are disabled. They are not able to see. They are blind. We can record audio lessons, the Sabbath school lessons, even a Bible study, which is audio. They're able to follow. So we can use technology to glorify God by employing our giftedness into technology so that we may reach far and near. Remember that the gospel of the kingdom, until it is spread far and near, then the world will come to an end. The second principle, apart from using our spiritual gifts, is the obvious thing, sharing the gospel using technology, where we employ these gadgets for a greater use. And we can see that today there are people, maybe there's a rainstorm, but you're able to worship from home. you're able to catch up on what is happening in the spiritual circles in terms of our spirituality, interacting with family and friends on WhatsApps and on Facebook. So we can use really technology to glorify God by making good use of it in terms of sharing the gospel and using it to actually give more power to our spiritual gifts, which God has given us and talents.
Powerful. And now, in conclusion, my elder, what are some practical ways that we can use to disconnect and spend more time in God's presence? Just disconnect, shut off all the distractions. What are some practical tips that you can share with us to help us do that?
Now, well, number one, we can set aside the device, which means we must create times or just the days when we are not just on media and we just dedicate ourselves to God. And this also has to do with fasting. You know, sometimes we viewed fasting as you stop yourself from eating, but it's just stopping yourself from anything which will distract you from concentrating on God. So you can just say, okay, this whole week I won't be online. I just want to concentrate on me doing God's work. Or for this day, I won't be online. I won't touch my phone. I'll just be praying. I'll be studying the word and just detach myself from media. Because some of us have even become addicted where if your phone is not with you, you may even be feeling as if it's ringing in your pocket when actually it's not even there. Number two, we can establish a quiet time when we just have time to be with our Lord. Then again, we can engage in outdoor activities. We can engage in nature walk, not where we are just glued to the screen. Yeah. In the end, we damage our eyes and we begin wearing spectacles. We can also practice being mindful and just meditating. And again, the other one is empowering the literature ministry. We can buy a physical book. We can get hard copies instead of just being on screens. Because, and this is the encouragement we give people when we are going to church. Some will say, no, I have a Bible on my phone.
Yes.
But you are in church, you are scrolling the Bible, then something pops up on Facebook or a notification. You go there. And in the end, you are tempting the devil to tempt you instead of the other way around. Yes. So also we must practice worshiping services where we meet physically. It will encourage us to stay off from social media and off from these things. And finally, we can take breaks from social media. We can limit our screen time. You know, our gadgets right now are sophisticated and very advanced where you can even, it has even options and settings where you can time how much time you spend on social media. And when that time reaches, it locks itself and it will only unlock the other time which you set to say to open at another time. So we can do that. We can set our phones where, for example, because some of us even sleep late because when we are resting, we touch our phones, we spend 3 hours and we disturb our sleeping time. So we can set our phones with a timer where if it reaches at this time, it switches off on its own. And just like that, or it switches off some applications and all that. I think these and other things which the Lord may whisper to us as we go along in our Christian journey may be helpful to help us not get distracted from having time with our God.
I like that. And it's interesting that you bring up the point of having physical books, reading actual books, real literature. And it brings me to a sermon that I was listening to over this weekend. Randy Skeet, it was a few years ago, Pastor Randy Skeet is preaching and he says he's encouraging people to use physical Bibles. And as he's talking about the fact that he, at some point he was reading his Bible, I think he was in a waiting room or something somewhere. So he was reading his Bible on his phone because he didn't have the physical one. So as he was waiting for whatever, he's reading his Bible on his phone and he says an ad popped up saying how to date Asian women. I love his Bible study. And he was saying
That's interesting.
That will never happen with the physical Bible. You won't get those kinds of distractions. So even the most disciplined person, you want to avoid even putting yourself in that position, in that situation where the devil can just throw something to distract you for a split second in a physical Bible or physical book, that doesn't happen. So just an encouragement that even though times have changed, we're moving with the times, and now we've got Spirit of Prophecy and Bibles, we've got all those things on our phones, there's still value in the physical Bible. So if you can, make sure you get yourself a physical Bible. And it also helps you to detach, like you're saying, Elder, that when you want to take that time out and say, for this period, I don't want to be on social media or I don't want to be on my phone, you want to be away from it completely so that you don't even have the distraction of a notification that now you have to apply your discipline to say, I'm not going to open it. I don't want it'll have to wait. You don't even put yourself in such a position. So thank you so much for that, Elder. We'll be connecting again tomorrow to continue the conversation. Thank you so much for your time today.
No, thank you. Have a good day.
Absolutely.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.